It's a bright, cool afternoon on South Moose Lake in the middle of Boundary Waters territory. Rocky islands rise up from the water, covered with straight green pines pointing high. The water is pure enough to drink, and the air is still. It's quiet here now, but back in town, back in Ely, where the BWCA Wilderness Act was first fought and then resented, it hasn't been quiet since 78. In the lobby of the Motel Ely, owner Bob Ellis sits waiting for customers. On the street outside, a steady stream of cars heads north, many with canoes strapped on top. None of them are stopping here.
All we see in Ely now is canoes that come with everything on their own. They come here and they make a trip and then they leave here.
Ellis wasn't always in the motel business. He used to own the Snowbank Beach Resort on a lake adjoining the BWCA. The federal government bought out most of those resorts after 1978. Ellis keeps an old photo of Snowbank Beach on the lobby wall.
Well, this shows the waterfront. This is all sand beach in front of the main lodge building. This main lodge building had 10 bedrooms upstairs. Then there was a kitchen in the back end here and an office. They burned it down.
Ellis was paid $475,000 for his resort. It was among the first of 27 bought out by the federal government, an effort that so far cost more than $9 million. Most of them, like Snowbank Beach, were removed or destroyed. There are 500 fewer beds for rent in the Ely area than there were a decade ago.
We've lost our tourist trade, per se. I'm talking about the tourists that spend money in Ely. When the resorts went out and all their cabins and accommodations, we don't get those people here anymore. The big money tourist is gone.
Dr. Jack Grahuk has been Ely's mayor for 25 of his 77 years. He's seen the town lose more than 1,000 residents, about 20% of the population, since 1980. He says the BWCA Act of 78 played a big role in that decline.
Economically, it was a disaster for us. Our businesses are surviving the best they can. They make a little money during the summer with a little influx. They die in the winter. I'd like to promote winter recreation in this area, but the minute that you'd start something, why, immediately you're jeopardizing the wilderness. You're destroying the wilderness. So where do you go? What do you do?
Grahuk and the town's business leaders don't blame all Ely's economic tribulations on the 78 law. Some say it was only the beginning of a troubled slide that hit bottom in 1985 when the closing of the reserve mining plant at nearby Babbitt left some 600 local residents jobless. But the legislation did change lives and livelihoods in the tourism industry and elsewhere. Norm Kynes is 60 years old, robust, white-bearded, a logger all his life. Until 1978, he and his brothers Leo and Ray employed 30 full-time workers here at the Kynes Logging Company sawmill just outside of Ely.
I lost about $500,000. We had accumulated quite a bit of property and equipment, and when we finally got rid of it, we auctioned it off piece by piece, and I think we come up with about $65,000. This building we're standing in here now, probably, I don't know, must have been 100 million feet of lumber went through here. The planer set right here. Lots of noise around here for many years.
The loss of the Boundary Waters area to loggers meant Kynes and the others had to go elsewhere for timber and pay more for it. The Kynes brothers and another local sawmill went out of business, and while the law did provide money to plant seedlings and reforest lands just outside the BWCA, those were long-term efforts. For now, Kynes and his wife support themselves by running a bait and tackle place during the summer months. In the off-season, it's back to logging, now as a hired hand.
I go to work in the woods in the wintertime for wherever the hell ever I can get a job, and it's a whole lot different than running your own operation, but I gotta buy groceries, but we haven't owned a car for, 4 or 5 years, I guess. Boundary water wasn't too good to me so far.
The BWCA has been a battlefield now for nearly 60 years. Simply put, the fight has been between environmentalists who wanted a pristine wilderness and local residents who depended on motorboats, chainsaws, and access for their livelihoods and recreation. The battle came to a head 10 years ago when a bill tightening restrictions in the BWCA was debated in Congress and at home. Locals protested on the lawn of the U.S. Forest Service, shut down the entry points to the BWCA, and turned one visit by pro-wilderness politicians into a near riot. Less than a month later, Congress approved a law forbidding motor use in nearly all the BWCA. Roger Baker is district ranger for the U.S. Forest Service in Ely.
If you could run into a vote and say, what do you think about the 78 legislation? Was it harmful or beneficial? You would probably get a large majority saying, never should have had it. It was detrimental. But that all depends on where you draw your line and where you vote. Take that same vote in the cities. You could get a totally different vote.
While motor restrictions aren't popular with most local residents, Baker says the sheer numbers of canoeists who arrive from around the country make the BWCA one of the most popular wilderness areas in the United States. Since the early 70s, about 160,000 people have visited annually. Last year, the number jumped to 180,000.
We've gone too far. Is there a milepost or anything that we should be looking for?
No. What you're going to look for?
Is there a lot?
Joe and Jane Sandor from Rochester, Minnesota, are at the Forest Service office in Ely finalizing the route for their weekend canoe trip. They were newlyweds on their last trip 10 years ago. This time, their three kids are along.
It's a one-time, once-in-the-country experience, I think. You can go anywhere and compete with motorized boats if you want, but there are a few areas that you can really get back, and it's strictly manpower canoeing.
But not everyone heading for the Boundary Waters canoe area wants to paddle a canoe. Steve Allen of Lyle, Illinois, says the law provides plenty of room for both paddle and motor enthusiasts.
I've gone up into the areas where they don't allow boats and taken the canoe trips. And, you know, if you want that, then you go up a little further north, up into the more remote areas. We went for a whole week and we only saw people 2 days, you know. So if you want that, you go there. If you want to come down, just relax and have a boat, a motor to push you around and do some fishing, hop in different spots, well, then they got that for you too.
Alan is paying $6 to have his rig loaded up on a trailer and hauled over the half-mile winding gravel road that separates Sucker Lake from Basswood, a sprawling border lake. This is Prairie Portage, one of five mechanical portages in the Boundary Waters. The 78 legislation called for their removal by 1984 if a non-mechanized method of moving the boats could be found. Environmentalists now threatening to sue the Forest Service insist boats can be pulled and pushed across the portage by hand with the use of a two-wheeled trailer. Jeep Latterell, who runs Prairie Portage, has a different story.
Since 79, the three people that's wheeled the portage, I've hauled two of them back after they wheeled the hill. They wheeled in here downhill, and I hauled them back out of here. To transport boats across the portage, you got to be strong. Not a husband and wife, or the people that's using it today would be completely shut out of here.
Latterell says too much of the BWCA has already been closed off to motor traffic. He was one of a number of Elyites that flew to Washington to testify against the 78 legislation. He says the locals didn't get a fair shake.
Well, I feel bitter that we went through all the motions and spent a lot of money, and we were beat before we started. We never had a chance. When people from somewhere else that's never been here and don't know the problems or understand the logistics of really what goes on, to tell people that are real knowledgeable, I think that's really wrong.
When you get a community that lives near a big wilderness area, they develop a proprietary view of the resource. They develop a view that they own it and they know what's best for it. And the forest and the BWCA is in fact a national resource.
The walls of Brian O'Neill's law office are decorated with photographs and artwork of the canoe country he's spent many years defending. They provide a sharp contrast to the view from his 22nd-story window in downtown Minneapolis.
These are videotapes of people crossing the portages.
O'Neill has filled some 40 file drawers during his 11-year legal battle on behalf of Minnesota environmentalists.
The Minnesota environmentalists are the best environmental litigators in the country. They had people who would take years out of their lives to go and live in Washington, D.C., and lobby for the passage of the act.
One of those people was Bud Heinzelman, a forest ecologist who took an early retirement from his Forest Service job in part to devote more time to the BWCA fight.
We were there living in a 2x4 room in a hotel trying to work with the Congress to get this legislation through. It was a nip and tuck fight for 3 years. We just didn't know. And we very nearly failed. You know, the bill passed the last day of the Congress in 1978, and my wife and I were sitting in the gallery, and we were so amazed and pleased when it finally happened that we both shed tears.
Heinzelman now divides his time between the Twin Cities and Burntside Lake near Ely, where he and his wife have a small cedar-sided cabin. He says he's been coming to the Boundary Waters for more than 50 years.
In 1931, I was 11 years old. We camped on a peninsula in Lac La Croix that had never been logged, and it was my first experience camping in a big virgin pine forest, and I will never forget that experience. It stayed with me the rest of my life. This is just something you want to do. You want to see this area preserved.
But not preserved like a fine grade of wine that you set on the shelves and keep for your great-great-great-great-grandchildren to drink in many years in the future. No, this wilderness has to be used, should be used, regularly.
In a back office of Cliff Wold's outfitting business, a personal computer works nonstop, printing out newsletters to a list of legislators, environmental groups, and former customers. Wold says he's fighting for a new law because the 78 Act takes the concept of preservation too far.
They want to go out there, see no one or very few people. And this wilderness, the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness, belongs to all Americans, not just the wilderness purists.
Wold has been outfitting wilderness campers in Ely for 28 years. He contends the 78 law has been as tough on the town as the mine shut down 3 years ago. He points to his own business as an example.
By 1972, I think I was the primary complete outfitting company in Ely, outfitting 3,850 people completely in 1972. It's dropped to about half. This year we may outfit about 1,800. It's dropped.
Not all of Ely's outfitters were opposed to the 1978 legislation. Bill Rahm was in the business for 30 years and remains a vocal proponent of the law.
If you look back into history, Minnesota was in 100% wilderness at one time. And today, about 2% is wilderness. That's our Boundary Waters canoe area. So if we didn't have that 2%, the people that desire wilderness or wilderness experience would be shut out.
Rahm is 70 years old. He says he's spent most of his life fighting the majority in Ely.
There have been a lot of threats. My signs on the highway were continually chopped up and, you know, torn down on the Fernberg Road. And we had picketing in front of our store, big logging trucks and everything tied up for two very important weekends in May one year. And we've had a little bomb go off on our steps one time during the airban fight. That was back in 1949. But there have been threats. I've had snowmobiles come around my house here at 3 o'clock in the morning and just keep circling the house. But we're still sticking by our guns. We're still here. This is our hometown, and nobody's chasing me out of town.
The days of vandalism and violence have passed now. The bitterness that remains seems more directed at the federal government than at individuals who supported the BWCA law. 8th District Congressman James Oberstar, who pushed unsuccessfully for a less restrictive bill, says the interests of most Elyites were simply overpowered.
I think you have to understand the context of the times and the people who had lived in that area successively. They had seen their lifestyle restricted the kinds of use of the area, gradually whittled down. They had their back to the wall, and they weren't going to give in. What they didn't realize was, frankly, we were outgunned.
Despite motorboat restrictions and the loss of many resorts, tourism in Ely seems to be on the rise. This warm weekday afternoon has brought a nonstop flow of visitors through the Ely Chamber of Commerce.
No, not really. Just good family restaurant, I guess.
A good family restaurant? Okay. If you go down to Britain's Cafe, if you just go right out of the parking lot here, turn left, go all the way down to the last...
Chamber Director Gene Larson says traffic has been good all summer. She's hopeful that represents a turnaround for Ely, a sign that the townspeople, 10 years after the fact, are starting to work with the 78 law instead of against it.
If you take something that's very devastating and sit back and look at it and you think, well, now I've got to come up with something new and something innovative, something that is going to work to our benefit, I think it has taught our people that they have to use their ingenuity, their imagination, and come up with some new ways of marketing and new ideas.
Ely canoe outfitter Woods Davis says he didn't like the 78 legislation any more than most Ely residents. But once it passed, Woods and his partner Tom Ware say they didn't waste any time lamenting the third of their business that relied on motors. Woods Davis.
We had to go out and to appeal to people who didn't want to take a motor as much as we had in the past. Prior to the 78 law, there were 44% of our customers took a motorboat, one way or another. And of course, after the 78 law, I would say that the percentage is down to around 10%.
Davis says they replaced the blue-collar fishermen who wanted motors with what he calls wine and cheesers, wilderness lovers who wanted a paddle-only experience.
Moose Lake is about 3 miles long. It's a typical lake in the Boundary Waters canoe area. And as you can look up the lake, it's quiet, it's peaceful. This is one of the lakes that makes selling of the Boundary Waters canoe area to a marketeer very easy because we just drink the water right out of this lake. It's crystal clear water. As I say, there are no cabins on the lakes, there are no cottages, there are no roads in any of the lakes, and it's the land of the loon and the land of the bald eagle.
Back in his office, Davis talks about their newest project, a cooperative venture with the U.S. Forest Service. The outfitters built a pair of rental, hike-in lake cabins on federal land outside the wilderness. The cabins, with no running water and outhouses, were booked solid for the summer, even at $700 a week.
There's probably locations in the Superior National Forest for maybe up to 50, so that there's quite a few opportunities for other businesses to have similar cabins, you know, resorts or something like that up in the Gunflint area or Crane Lake area, so that it could be a brand new industry for northern Minnesota.
It's taken nearly 10 years to come this far. Most people in Ely still think their town and their rights were trampled by an all-too-powerful environmental movement. A few say they won't stop fighting to repeal the law, but the majority have slowly come to accept it. In 1988, most Elyites are willing to leave the past and look to the concrete signs of growth in their community. The state's proposed $2 million Wolf Center is scheduled to be built here. A private office building nearing completion will house several high-tech companies and employ some 50 people. Minnesota's Department of Revenue is opening an Ely division office in October. The breeze of optimism is a welcome change for this town. Canoe outfitter Woods Davis.
There's just a very, very small minority that is still has their guns loaded and their bayonets sharpened and ready to go do battle. There are a lot of things that may not be quite right, but overall, if you sit back and you really look at it with clear eyes, I think you will see that Ely has taken some giant steps forward and is ready to forget the past and go forward in the future.
Wilderness Truce, Ely 10 years later, is a Main Street Radio production. It was written and produced by Leif Enger and Rachel Reby. The engineer was Scott Bridgewater. Editorial assistance from Sarah Meyer and Kate Moose. I'm Leif Enger.